Being created for more means a living a life of purpose. Follow me now. Being created for more means living a life of purpose, stepping beyond fear, and trusting the journey God has set before you. That's where we are today. And we need to realize what He's done for us. Oh, what He's done for me. This is should be in around about a 12-part series, which will take us on a journey of faith, freedom, and purpose. Faith, freedom, and purpose. Does anybody not want that? We all want faith, freedom, and purpose. And we're going to look at, through the Scriptures, how we've been made for more, both in our personal lives and in service to others. Can we just give God a little glory today? Hallelujah. Just thank the Lord for what He's done. I'm relaxed today because this being the first Sunday, God has something special for us all. But on this journey of life, when we realize He's taken us through a process of freedom, faith, and purpose, I hear some people say, I'm miserable with the state I'm in. Have you heard anybody ever say that? I'm just miserable. I'm miserable with the state I'm in. Well, here's what I came up with this morning. Got up very early this morning again, looking over some of my thoughts. When I say I'm miserable with the state I'm in, well, you need to change citizenship. You're in the wrong state. You need to stop being a citizen of that state. I refuse to be a citizen of going nowhere, doing nothing, not making it happen, not accomplishing anything. I will not be a citizen of that state of misery. I will be a citizen, and I will take my rightful place in the kingdom of God. And that's what changes things. That's what He's created me for. I will walk in the kingdom of God. But Bishop, I don't feel like I have what it takes. You don't. But He does. Now hear this. No matter what, because what you think about yourself is important. But hear me. No matter what you think about yourself, God thinks more of you than you could ever imagine. He already thinks more about you. Because you've been created for it. And what God creates, God will sustain. Say that with me. What God creates, He will sustain. He will undergird. He is more than just the foundation. He's the whole superstructure. God is what makes it work. Amen? But there's a criteria fixed to God creates what He will sustain. What He creates, He will sustain. There is a criteria to this truth. What is that? You must walk in trust and faith. Yes, God what He creates, He will sustain. But it's through your trust and faith in His ability to fulfill His word. Either His word is true or it's not. Either it is a word from God or it's a word from man. We have to make that decision and stand in truth and faith. Amen? So let me say this. You were not created to merely exist. You were not created to merely exist. You were designed. You were designed to thrive, to dream, and to achieve the extraordinary. How many people would like to do that? To achieve the extraordinary. And no matter what it looks like, God through Jesus Christ has your back. Now, a lot of people tell you, I've got your back, and they what they mean is they're going to stab you in the back. But when God says He has your back, He has you all the way. He has everything you need when you need it. Even when you don't need it, think you need it, He knows. And He's there to help you. Can you say with me, more than enough? More than enough. Everything He's done for me is more than enough. My happiness can be more than enough. My healing, more than enough. My prosperity, more than enough. My peace, more than enough. God is more than enough. His coffers are not empty. My Father is rich in heaven and glorious in heaven. Do y'all remember a sitcom show back in the, of course, many of y'all are not that old, but in the about mid-50s to the early 60s, there was a sitcom called Father Knows Best. Anybody remember it? They may have played some reruns of it. Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm not speaking about Robert, whatever his name was, Young. I'm speaking about for the Father God. And Father knows best because Father created us. Amen? So more than enough. Take you to Exodus, the 16th chapter, and let's look at a journey. This journey we're talking about. For the next few weeks, we'll be taking this journey together, learning together, experiencing what the Holy Spirit wants to say to us all. Here was a time when the children of Israel were always complaining. They're always murmuring. How many people know God's people love to complain? I mean, maybe that's the way it is around the world, but it seems like church people love to complain more than any others. They just love to complain. And here we got the church in the desert. They just came out from Egypt, and all they're doing is complaining after God brought them out, as the Bible says, with a mighty hand. Now watch this. So they're out there, and they're hungry. How many people know you got several million people, it takes a lot of food? Exodus 16, verse 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, look, I'm going to rain food. This is in the New Living Translation, make it a little easier to understand. The Lord said, look, I'm going to rain down food from heaven for each, from heaven for you. Each day the people can go out and pick up as much food as they need. Notice what he said there, as much food as you need. Not what you just want. Because some people want more than they need. I mean, if you need a pair of shoes, that's cool. But you don't need 10 pairs. Yes, you do. See, I knew the women would pick up on that. Each day the people can go out and pick up as much food as they need for that day. Now, that's important to hear. You can pick up the food you need for that day. I will test them. Who's speaking? The Lord now. I will test them to see whether or not they will follow my instructions. Are they going to follow what I said? Are they just going to keep complaining? So on the sixth day, they will gather food, and when they prepare it, there will be twice as much as usual. God is going to supernaturally expand it. You're going to be twice as much. How many of you are going to go home today and whatever your wife or husband has prepared, there'll be twice as much? I don't think so. It'll be really supernatural. But God did this. Now watch this. There'll be twice as much as usual. So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, by evening you will realize it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. In the morning you will see the glory of the Lord because he has heard your complaints. Heard what? Complaints. Complaints, 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 complaints. And he's heard your complaints, which are against him and not against us. What have we done that you should complain about us? Then Moses added, the Lord will give you meat to eat in the evening and bread to satisfy you in the morning, for he has heard all your complaints against him. What have we done? Yes, your complaints are against the Lord and not against us. People want to point a finger at their leaders, but in this case, it was God that was leading them. Then Moses said to Aaron, announce this to your entire community of Israel. Present yourselves before the Lord, for he has heard of your complaining. Boy, that's it. Complaints, complaining, on and on. And Aaron spoke to the whole community of Israel. They looked out toward the wilderness. There, there they could see the awesome glory of the Lord in the cloud. Cloud by day, the fire by night. Then the Lord said to Moses, I have heard the Israelites' complaints. There it is again. Complaints. And I want to say this before we go any further. You were created for better than that. You were created for more than complaining. You were created to give God the glory for the things He has done. It may not be what you think, but hear me when I tell you, in the final statement of your life, you'll find out that God knew exactly what He was doing. Amen, Brother Perez? So He says, you will have meat to eat, and in the morning you will have all the bread you want. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. Verse 13. That evening, vast numbers of quail flew in and covered the camp. And the next morning, the area around the camp was wet with dew. And the dew evaporated, and a flaky substance as fine as frost blanketed the ground. They call that manna. The Israelites were puzzled when they saw it. What is it? They asked each other. They had no idea what it was. And Moses told them, it is the food the Lord has given you to eat. These are the Lord's instructions. Here we go. He's giving instructions now. Each household should gather as much as it needs. Each household should gather what it needs. And here He gives the instruction again. Pick up 2 quarts for each person in your tent. Each person can get 2 quarts. If they're in America, it'd be 4 or 5 quarts. Pick up 2 quarts for each person in your tent. So the people of Israel did as they were told. Some gathered a lot and some only a little. But when they measured it out, everyone had just enough. No matter what they gathered, they had just enough. Those who gathered a lot had nothing left over. And those who gathered only a little had enough. Each family had just what it needed. You see how God takes care? You see how He watches over you? Then Moses told them, do not keep any of it until morning. And there's a principle here. Don't keep any of it until morning. But some of them did not listen. How many people know God's people don't listen? Amen. They just did not listen and kept some of it until morning. They hid it away. But by then it was full of maggots and had a terrible smell. Moses then was very angry with them because they didn't follow the instruction of the Lord. God wanted them to follow instructions. If we are going to walk in the more of God, then we're going to have to follow the instructions of God, right or wrong. This is a valuable lesson in these verses that we just read. You may not see it, but if you go back through it and see everything God was trying to show them, who He was, what He could do. The children of Israel were not created, hear this, they were not created to die of hunger in the desert. He didn't create them for that. He didn't save them from Egypt. He didn't save them from Pharaoh to take them out into a desert for them to die of hunger. They were created for the promise, not the desert. They were created for the promise. They were, watch this now. They were not created for where they were. They were created for where they were headed. You think you're created where you are right now? That's not where you should be. Let's go on with this. Because a lot of us are stuck right where we are, not realizing where we're headed. I know where I'm going. I know where I'm bound. I know what God is going to do with us and for us. Can anybody see that with me? Can anybody walk in that vision with me? You see, the desert was not their destination, nor God's determination. The desert was not their destination, but follow this. Please hear this. It was a process. The desert was a process they needed to go through to be prepared for the promise. It was a process they had to go through. They didn't see it at the time. They didn't know it at the time. That's why God said you need to walk in obedience. You need to follow my instructions because you're not going to be able to analyze this. This analytical mind don't work with God because God can out-analyze you. The most brilliant minds in the world today cannot outthink God. He said, just follow my instruction. Follow my lead. So you understand, the desert was not their destination. They were prepared for something far greater. Now hear this for you personally. The Spirit knows what you need when you need it to get you to where you're going. The Spirit knows. The Spirit knows exactly what you need, when you need it, and how to get you there. And if you don't believe that, you might as well throw the whole thing away. Because it's the Spirit of God that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing or little. So the Spirit knows what I need, when I need it, to get me where I'm going. And the children of Israel needed to learn to trust the instruction. You cannot walk in more if you don't follow the instruction by the one who created you. Does that make sense? They needed to learn to trust those instructions, and they needed to walk in obedience, because obedience is better than sacrifice if you understand the Bible. So the account we just read, this whole chapter of verses, the account we just read shows God's heart. You get a little understanding of God's thinking and the way He moves and His ability to save His people. Those who gathered much had enough. Those who gathered little had enough. But notice He didn't want them to keep it till the morning. What was God? Well, let's go on with this. I want you to notice they could only gather for what they needed in the present tense. This is important because a lot of us, we get outside of this. We get way outside of this thinking. They wanted to gather. They could only gather for what they needed in the present tense because God wanted to teach them to have faith for their future tense. Are you catching that? I know you're shaking your head, but you're thinking, I'm going to go eat in just a little bit. Pray God, that man will quit talking. I'll go get some food. You better be careful. It might be full of maggots and start to stink. That pot roast may not be any good when you get home. Is it just me or are restaurants getting poor on their food here lately? You go to a restaurant, think it's going to be good food, and it's terrible. What's happened to them? I think they're the ones gathering and they get maggots and all that stuff. Anyway. But God had a reason for all this to teach them what He could do for them in their future. Many of us, myself included, have been victim to this. So many of us worry about the past tense and miss our present tense. We're so consumed with the past tense, we miss everything that's happening in the present tense. And then others are more worried about their future tense, and they miss the goodness of where they are right now in their present tense. That's a play on words, but you've got to hear it because that's fact. It's either we're looking back or we're looking forward, and we're worried about the future. But I read something today that kind of took care of that in Matthew 6:34, because we're always concerned about future events, and I think God has got a different plan. He says, and Jesus speaking here, Matthew 6:34, take no thought for the morrow. What are you worried about tomorrow for? For tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil of thereof. What is he saying? Don't be overly worried or anxious about tomorrow's challenges or uncertainties. Don't get worried about it. Each day will bring its own concerns. Whatever day it is, it'll bring its own concerns and challenges, and tomorrow's issues will be dealt with when they come. Does that make sense to anybody? That's what he means. He's trying to teach us something here. But no, we get caught up in a past tense, and then we start looking into our future tense, and we forget we're living in the present tense. I have faith for my future tense. Matter of fact, if you look, here's where people miss it. They read one verse like that in 634. But the verse before that gives you a key in 633. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Before he said all that, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you. Take no thought for tomorrow. Are you seeing it now? Because when you're concerned and you're looking into the kingdom of God, he said, I'll take care of your tomorrow. I'll take care of your future. I'll take care of your future tense. Are we still together on this? The Bible says in Philippians 4:19, and my God, this is reading from the NIV, and my God will meet your needs. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. That's King James Version. And my God will meet all your needs according to his rich, glorious riches in Christ Jesus. More than enough. More than enough. More than enough. And the God that can supply more than enough is the same God that created you. That means you're more than enough. Say that out loud to me. I'm more than enough. If anybody tries to put you down, you need to understand who you are. Gerald, you're God's kid. You belong to God. You belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we're all on this journey. Every one of us seated here today, we're all on a journey. It's not just, hey, we're born and that's it. We just spend a few days in misery and toil and then we're dead. I don't believe that. I believe we're all born with a purpose and a plan and a design, and we're all being called according to his purpose. I believe that. So we're all on his journey to our intended destiny. My destiny is not a grave. Physicists now are starting to say, Christian, you'll like this because I know you follow all those journals. Physicists now are saying that death is not the end. There's something beyond that. It's just a transition. What, did you hear what I just said? Death is not the end. It's just a transition. How many years have I been teaching that? And now physicists, these brainiacs, are just coming up with it? Everyone seated here today is in a transition. And everyone is moving. Say, praise God, I'm moving. Yeah, but let me explain. Some are moving backwards and some are moving forwards. But you're going somewhere. Make no mistake of that. You are going to go somewhere. We're on that journey. And not, it's on a journey or a plan or a design that I have not chosen. I've not chosen that plan or determined, but the one the Lord has carefully laid out. Because the one that I plan makes mistakes. You see, the plans that we make or I have made are flawed. Why? Why are they flawed? Because I don't see the end from the beginning or the beginning from the end. I can't see those things. We only see where we are right now. God doesn't. God is in the past, the present, and the future. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. What does that mean? The past, the present, and the future. That's good stuff right there. But we see where we are right now. He has already seen where I'm going. Here's the good part about that. If he sees where I'm going, then he knows what it takes to get me there. If he sees where I'm going, he sees also what it takes to get me there. You know, sometimes we wonder why you're going through what you're going through. You might want to look at yourself and see what are you doing wrong. Because God's not a bad God. He's not a mean God. The Spirit knows who you are, and he's trying to nudge you into the right direction. He's trying to nudge you. But a lot of us don't like to be nudged, Randy. We want to do it our way. And God says, no, if you'll do it this way, I'll take you to your intended goal. I don't want to see just where I am right now. I want to see where He wants me to be. You may see things. Here's the problem with this. You may see things on the surface. God sees it in depth. But on the surface, you may not realize, seeing things on the surface, you may not realize the greater potential. Let me give you a few little illustrations about seeing things as they are and missing the greater potential. There was a man, he discovered accidentally, Alexander Fleming discovered penicillin as a mold contaminant. As a mold contaminant. Are you hearing me? But we found out it became widely used as an antibiotic, revolutionizing medicine and saving millions of lives. But it started out as a mold contaminant. I wonder how many of you have started out as a mold contaminant. Seriously, I mean this. The Lord really should have showed this to me. He said what it started out is not what it ended up being. You may start it in a no-end job, and now you're in a good-end job. You may not have believed in the truth, the tenets, the covenants that God has taught us until you did them. You don't believe them because you never did them. But when you start to do them and you realize God keeps blessing and blessing and blessing and blessing. Talk to Crystal this week about that. You know, it's hard once you get blessed and blessed and blessed to stay in covenant because you start paying your tithe and you realize, whoo. So my prayer is if you can't write, give God the glory in your tithe, then maybe we should pray you not make so much. How many people like that prayer today? I'll be willing to pray for you. But that's not right. Or maybe you started out as a as a failed attempt to make a strong adhesive. What did that happen? Well, that failed attempt to make a strong adhesive became an invaluable tool for temporary notes and reminders. It's called Post-its. Is this spiritual, Bishop? You better believe this is spiritual, because a lot of y'all have missed your potential. Oh, how about this one? Microwave oven. How many people use a microwave? Most women only know how to cook on microwaves now. They don't pull out the big kettles. Now, I like microwaves. They're good. But watch this. Magnetrons were initially used in radar technology. Are you hearing it? But it discovered by Percy Spencer, it would heat food, leading to the development of the modern microwave oven. But what did it start out as? Something about radar? Something you would never use in your home? Something you could care less about? But now it's something everybody's got one in their house. Maybe two of them. But what did it start out as, Sandy? Just something that nobody really cared about except maybe the government. I'll give you this last one. Maybe next week I'll give you some more. How many people have ever used super glue? It was designed, its purpose was to bond gun sights during World War II. It was just to fix the gun sights in World War II, but became a household adhesive and has even been used in medical applications for closing up wounds. What started out as fixing a gun has now saved people's lives. I had to give you those illustrations because so many people, you don't realize who you are and what your potential is. You don't know who you are. You've been created and designed by God. Because, see, many people only see, and they'll only, because it's very difficult because they can't see in the future, so they start living in the past tense. And the past tense will tarnish their present tense. Thus, because it's tarnished my present tense, it will hinder my future tense. There's no way to get around it. Somewhere you're going to get messed up in there. But God, who created you for more, He sees the past tense, develops your present tense, and guides you into your future tense. And if I didn't believe that, I'd quit preaching. Because He knows, sees all. He knows exactly what we're going through. We've had some difficult times. This church has had some difficult times. We've also had some glorious times, victorious times, magnanimous days here. Days you would not, for those that have not been here for the last 20 years or 25 years or whatever, you don't know what I know. You've not seen what I've seen. But I just want to tell you, God knows exactly what He's doing, and there's about to be a revolution in the Spirit. God has even been prodding me and pushing me in new directions. Why? Because He said, you've done what I've asked you to do. It's time to move on. It's time to do what I've asked you to do. Now, how many sitting here today realize that God's trying to move you on? Trying to get you to where you need to be. Hebrews 13 verse 8 says, Jesus Christ, what I said a minute ago, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. This verse emphasizes the unchanging nature of Jesus Christ, His faithfulness, and His eternal constancy. He's eternal, and He's in every phase of your life, past, present, and future. Here's the question I'll pose to you today. Do you have the vision and the faith to navigate your desert and step into the purpose for which you were created? Now, that's a heavy question. Now, if I ask that of somebody that's just gone through a near-death experience, they're probably going to answer that. For those that have not gone through troublesome times, they miss this. David said it, the psalmist, the King David. He said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. I think it was David said that. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Why would Because when he got afflicted, he had to bring himself back into right relationship with God. Am I right or wrong? So, understand you have been created for what we've talked about. You've been created and designed for something more, created for more. And the journey you're on may be difficult. Has anybody had some difficulties? The journey you're on may be difficult and even treacherous at times. But you were, hear this now, but you were, Psalms 139 verse 14, God, I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderful made. You were fearfully and wonderful made. Your works are wonderful, and I know full well. This little verse right here reminds us that the intentional care and reverence God took in creating each one of us. Fearfully reflects the awe and respect with which He formed us, while wonderfully signifies the uniqueness and beauty of His craftsmanship. I believe this is a powerful declaration of our worth and value in God's eyes. You, affirming that every individual is purposefully and lovingly created. Every one of us with a plan. Every one of us with a design. Fearfully and wonderful made. If you're wondering who you are, you are fearfully and wonderfully made.